This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. It began, as it often does, with a tweet.
At the White House, major changes with the firing of National Security Director John Bolton. President Trump tweeting that news, saying, "I informed John Bolton last night that his services are no longer needed at the White House."
This, in turn, sparked two very familiar manifestations of Washington Press Corps reflex.
Shake up at the White House. Did National Security Advisor John Bolton quit, or was he fired?
Palace intrigue, soap opera, whodunit. Who cares? The TikTok of the latest Trumpian chaos was so trivial and irrelevant that even Fox and Friends momentarily broke character to think about why they were even gossiping about it.
John Bolton just texted me.
Oh.
Just now, he's watching. He said, let's be clear, I resigned. And I said, do you mind if I say that while you were talking? And he wrote, yes. Right. So John Bolton has just answered the president's tweet by saying,
why,
yes.
Why are we doing this? Like, why are we I know why we're doing it. It's a talk show. Breaking news.
But the second reflexive response was more telling. So conditioned to reporting on Trump's recklessness and incompetence is the chattering class, and so caught up in the schadenfreude of administration chaos, much of their coverage defaulted to the narrative of Bolton's departure as destabilizing.
It's clear Bolton was reportedly willing to stand up to what he saw as bad or dangerous foreign policy ideas. He had that type of backbone, whether you agree with his alternative ideas.
That was Ari Melber on MSNBC, and here were the Morning Joe hosts.
This is the Wall Street Journal's lead editorial today on John Bolton, and they say right in the lead, America's adversaries lost a rare internal restraint on President Trump's inconsistent and transactional security instincts. The world is now a more dangerous place.
Wow. Joining us now.
Exactly. I think there were a lot of people who didn't love John Bolton being chosen as national security advisor, but the thought of him leaving is even worse, if that makes any sense.
And Dexter Filkins, writing in The New Yorker, said, quote, you may not like Bolton's worldview. Many of his enemies in Washington certainly despise it. But at least he has a worldview.
I mean, say what you want about the tenets of National Socialism, dude. At least it's an ethos. Yeah.
Walter from The Big Lebowski. And thus this week, John Bolton was elevated. No better way to burnish your political obituary than getting fired by Trump. Yes, the president calls the press an enemy, and so I suppose by definition he is ours, but that doesn't mean the enemy of my enemy is my friend. How quickly some have forgotten.
On April 9th, the United States will take one big step closer to nuclear war.
MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell a year and a half ago when Bolton got the appointment.
On April 9th, Donald Trump will have a national security advisor who just 5 weeks earlier publicly called for a preemptive attack on North Korea.
And as for Morning Joe, 17 months ago, they weren't quite so ready to imagine Bolton as a stabilizing influence.
John Bolton is a bigger neocon than Dick Cheney. Could you explain what a wreck, Elise, as somebody that knows that for foreign policy, what a massive neocon on steroids John Bolton
is?
Well, yes and no.
He has always decried the label neocon as not applying to him, because one feature of a neoconservative is that they want to spread democracy throughout the world, you know, through force.
Fred Kaplan is a staff writer at Slate, where he writes the War Stories column. He's also, full disclosure, Brooks' husband.
Bolton doesn't give a damn about spreading democracy around the world. His goal is quite strictly and explicitly extending American power around the world, getting rid of things like the UN and international law because they constrain American power. I mean, he's about as upfront an imperialist as anyone that we've seen in a senior position in the United States, probably for nearly 100 years.
Which, yes siree, is a worldview.
Hitler had a worldview too, you know? The fact that, oh, well, geez, he has an ideology and he believes it, I don't think that says anything necessarily in his favor.
But if you're so consumed by Trump hatred that you automatically relate to his victims, you can deceive yourself into a false narrative, such as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's tweet, quote, "John Bolton's sudden departure is a symbol of the disarray that has unnerved our allies since day one of the Trump administration. Steady leadership and strategic foreign policy is key to ensuring America's national security." The revisionism got so weird that Trump whisperer Tucker Carlson of Fox News Channel, seeing that Bolton was being portrayed in the enemy lamestream media as a victim, had to turn against him, portraying Bolton as something unspeakably vile, a liberal.
Bolton himself fundamentally was a man of the left. There was not a human problem John Bolton wasn't totally convinced could be solved with the brute force of government. That's an assumption of the left, not the right. Don't let the mustache fool you. John Bolton was one of the most progressive people in the Trump administration.
This is what happens when you put Donald Trump at the center of your conception of politics, call yourself a conservative, and therefore see anybody who's against Donald Trump as a leftist.
Slate's Fred Kaplan, who sees no need this week to revise history.
When Trump named Bolton National Security Advisor, I wrote a column in Slate which began, "Now's the time to push the panic button." And the reason I wrote that is because clearly, Trump had been watching Bolton on Fox News, where he was a regular commentator. Bolton had made no bones about the fact that he favored bombing North Korea, overthrowing the Iranian government, you know, pulling out of every treaty that you could think of. The fact that Trump then named him National Security Advisor, full well knowing what his views were, told me that's what he wants Bolton to do.
Trump grooved on that tough talk, the bellicose rhetoric, the violent threats he believes force the other side to negotiate.
He thought that talking tough would make the leaders of North Korea and Iran and other places tremble in their boots and give in to everything that America wants. Turns out that Trump really didn't want to go to war. He likes military parades. He likes tough language suggesting that he's going to war.
Just as he liked now-departed Defense Secretary Jim Mad Dog Mattis, until he discovered Mattis wasn't all that mad. But for all of Trump's saber-rattling, he has mainly tried to do deals. Deals with a series of devils, like North Korea, Russia, and the Taliban, while also cozying up to murderers in Saudi Arabia and the Philippines. This sort of seat-of-the-pants diplomacy, Kaplan says, could not have taken place under previous administrations because the layers of national security infrastructure at the State Department, the intelligence agencies, the Pentagon, and the National Security Council itself would have interfered with a bunch of annoying impediments, such as facts and history and doctrine, and strategy, and law. And far from being the enemy of our enemy, this is where Bolton was Trump's best friend.
You know, Trump always wanted to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal. Mattis and Tillerson and McMaster kind of convinced him that it was worth staying in. Bolton gave him permission to leave. Bolton also pulled out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty with Russia. He has reinforced and, again, given permission to several of the pernicious things that Trump had wanted to do and told him, yeah, go ahead, do it. And in the meantime, destroying the apparatus for interagency decision-making while he was at it.
So now we are left with the entire remaining national security apparatus of the United States splitting his time between the Oval Office and the 13th Fairway. Bolton's fate, ironically, was sealed because he worked for someone even more deaf to dissenting views than himself. That doesn't make him a steady hand. It just makes him a loser.
Coming up, it's about guns. It's about mental health. It's about homelessness. It's not private. A new perspective on so-called domestic violence.
This is On the Media.